Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, Christ's calling of Levi. In the first part of this sermon, Dr. Beakey described the historical account of Christ's encounter with Levi and the remarkable grace he showed him. Now, in a message originally preached in conjunction with the Lord's Supper, Dr. Beakey will speak more about lessons we can learn about effectual calling in its radical individuality, radical graciousness, radical sovereignty, whole-souled responsive obedience, and unending consequences. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear.
Poet says Jesus comes, the prisoners to relieve. In Satan's bondage held, the gates of brass before him burst, the iron fetters yield. He comes, the broken hearts to bind, the bleeding souls to cure, and with the treasures of his grace to enrich the humble poor. Don't stay away from Jesus Christ, poor sinner. He's promised he'll never reject a poor sinner. Come, brokenhearted one. Come, bleeding publican. Come, sinner who thinks you're the worst sinner in the whole church. Look to the Savior of sinners. Say with that same poet, thy promise is my only plea. With this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened souls to thee, and such, O Lord, am I. You see, this big text comprises one of the Bible's clearest statements about Jesus' mission, even as it comprises one of the Bible's saddest illustrations of self-righteousness's blindness. What a difference between the scribes and the Pharisees, self-sufficient, and the publicans, waiting on every word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you? Are you the self-righteous Pharisee? You've got it all put together so well, and you look down at everyone else, and you are the one who can gain acceptance somehow with God. But if you come poor and needy in yourself, looking to Jesus, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're more than welcome with Jesus. He's a glorious, precious Savior. And friends, his coming for publicans really cost him his life, cost him his reputation. It cost him everything. You see, if Jesus had just catered to the Pharisees, it would have been an entirely different ministry. But they crucified him because they could not handle the gospel. We sometimes forget the historical redemptive process of those 3 years of our Lord's ministry. The text this morning is so much at the heart of the gospel because it's Jesus determining to give himself for sinners. And giving himself for sinners means he had to come against the Pharisees. And it had to bring him in trouble. And he had to be crucified. So it's critical that we learn over and over and over again in our lives. This man comes to receive sinners. Sinners. That's all we are sitting here right now. Just sinners. But sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by someone who's not a sinner, who was willing, as it were, to become sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that's what we commemorate. So do this right now in remembrance of him, the sinless coming for you, the sinner, that you, the sinner, may find peace in the sinless Redeemer. So what do we learn from Jesus converting Levi? What do we learn for ourselves this morning? I just want to meditate with you a moment about that. I think we learn the radical individuality of his effectual call. Every conversion is different. Your conversion is different than the person sitting next to you. But for everyone, whether it's more gradual, whether it's more sudden, it's radical. It's a calling. He calls you. He stopped by you in your life, didn't he? When he stopped by you, he said, Levi, or your name, follow me. And you experienced something that you can't put into words, didn't you? Something that was gripping, something that was authoritative, and you couldn't resist anymore. You had to come forward to the Lord's Supper. You had to follow him. Your life changed. You now want to do his will, even though you're still just a sinner in yourself. You see, you are Levi. You are Levi. You're the publican. And he comes and he calls and he stares at you and he looks you in the eye and he says, follow me. It's a radical call. So you can be in church and you're with a lot of people in church, but it's as if he calls you all by yourself, as if it's just Jesus and you in church. The preacher falls away. The people fall away. He's looking at you straight in the eye, as it were, under the word of God, or while you're reading the Bible at home, he's dealing with you, and he says, follow me. And he says it not once, but again and again, all our lifetime, so that we are moved, not only to arise and leave all and follow him, but again and again, we know it's his calling. The first time, yes, that's special. But for every time thereafter, every day, there's this inner calling. I've got to follow Jesus. I get to follow Jesus. What a glorious thing that is. I've got someone worthy to follow. I've got someone who can save me and keep me saved to follow. I don't have to be my own master. I don't have to be my own self-righteous person. I don't have to concoct some righteousness up before God. He's done it all. It is finished. Just have to follow. Just have to follow him. What a gospel. A radical gospel of individuality, because he calls you efficaciously. But we see in this text this morning not only the radical individuality of Christ's effectual call, but the incredible graciousness of that call. It was just pure grace. Levi didn't have any right to it. Levi couldn't expect it. Levi is just a sinner. Why would God call Levi? Why would Jesus stop by Levi, of all people? There's just no reason in Levi. Absolutely zilch. No reason in Levi. It is pure, demerited favor from God to Levi. Follow me. You, Levi, have chosen you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I called you and drawn you. You know, every one of us deserves, sitting around this table, to be a reprobate. We've sinned thousands of times. We deserve to be a trophy of God's wrath and his venging justice. And he came to you and he said, sinner, follow me. And he stopped you and he turned you around. And he's still dealing with you. But the amazing thing is, he deals with you now in love, in amazing love. And so it's all grace, you see. It's all one-sided, sovereign grace. If you talk to Levi, he would have said, this is the most astonishing thing imaginable. Jesus would stop by me, by me. So he wants to get all his friends together. He wants to tell them all. I want to tell you what Jesus has done for my soul. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for all of you. See, that's what the gospel does. It's so amazing that Jesus would save. And you just say, it's all pure, pure grace. And that Jesus doesn't care what the Pharisees think about him. Because he loves Levi so much, shows you the magnitude of that grace. But Jesus, aren't you worried about your reputation? Aren't you worried that all the religious people will be... No, no, no. I love Levi. I love Levi. I'm going to spend my time with the publicans. Oh, the grace of God to you, to me. Grace that took him all the way to Calvary's cross. And grace that now has him at the right hand of the Father, remembering you every single second, Hebrews 7:25, he ever lives to make intercession for us as if you were his only child, even though he has millions of them. Isn't that amazing? Every tick of the clock, he's remembering you. Levi, 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 praying for Levi. Just put your own name in there. It's not just what he did on Calvary. It's what he's doing now. And it's what he shall do when he comes again to take you to be with him forever. So this call, follow me, is a lifelong call. It's actually an eternal call, because what is heaven? Heaven is just following Jesus forever. Only then sin-free. What a joy that will be, to be no more standing in the way of his call. Pure grace from eternity past to eternity future. Radical individuality. Radical graciousness. But thirdly now, there's a radical sovereignty. A radical sovereignty about his call, isn't there? Why did he choose you? And why not perhaps your brother or your sister or a friend or someone maybe who's more likable than you are by nature. Someone who you just think that God would pick that person. God says no. Levi. It's specific, you see. Follow me. It's just pure sovereignty. It's a radical sovereignty. God chooses secondborn Jacob, not the firstborn Esau. Chooses a secondborn Abel, not the firstborn Cain. He makes surprising choices. Surprising choices. And every believer feels like he's a surprising choice. Because every believer says, if you only knew my heart, if you only knew the wicked lusts of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eye in my life, you would say, no, no. God would never choose me. Levi. Levi. Follow me. Levi? You? Yes, you. Because he's sovereign. He's free to choose whom he will. And this is humbling. Sovereignty of God. By nature, we hate it. By grace, we just love it. Because if he weren't sovereign, there's no hope for me. There's no hope for you. So he comes. No one in the whole world expected him to stop by Levi, except Jesus. And he says, Levi, follow me. Why are you sitting here this morning? He came. Sovereignly. Praise his name. Praise his name for his sovereign grace. Remember A.W. Pink saying that when the Lord began to work with him, sovereignty was the one attribute that was such an obstacle for him. Then he said when the Lord worked through, it became his favorite attribute. But there's something else in this text. There's a response from Levi. It's God's one-sided, free, sovereign, gracious gift. But then there's a fourth thing. Levi's whole-souled response of obedience. He left all and rose up and followed him. There's a beautiful simplicity. There's a beautiful wholeness. You know, God is essentially one. And our dilemma in life is we try to be two. We're bifurcated. We try to put one foot into Christianity and one foot into the world. But when God comes and conquers us, then despite our ongoing sin, and it remains a burden to the end, but despite it, there's this whole soul desire, this whole soul response. I will leave all. I will live unto him. I will follow him. So in one sense, grace is free because he's merited it all. In another sense, grace is costly because it costs us our life. Take up the cross and follow me. Deny yourself, you see. Deny your whole tendency of self-righteousness. You've got to surrender the battle. You've got to lay the weapons down in the gospel to follow Jesus completely, unconditionally, a whole-souled response. That's what Levi does. And he wants everyone to know. He's drawn the line in the sand. See, that's what happens when you come to the Lord's Supper. You draw the line in the sand. You have just publicly, once more, let the whole congregation know, I cannot live by my own righteousness. I can only live by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Levi wants to do. So he calls all his friends. I'm just going to tell you all. I'm a new creation. I've got a new purpose. I've got a new goal in life. My whole life has been turned upside down. He left all. He left his toll booth. He left his whole way of life, his whole way of thinking. It's all upside down. He lived to pocket extra money. Now he lives to tell others about Jesus. What a difference. He gets all his friends together. I'm a new man. I leave all. Dear friends, is there something you're clinging to from your old life that needs to go? Let it go. Let it go. Curse it. Kill it. Follow Jesus. So much of the Christian joy is hampered because we don't let everything go and leave all and follow him. Oh God, help us to leave everything for Jesus' sake. Help us to have a single eye, thy name to glorify. Help us to live exclusively for our Savior, who deserves everything of us. Give us pure-hearted zeal for our Master. That is my wish for you and for me. The joy, the zealous joy of a whole-souled obedience and a whole-souled response. And the same Savior who saved you and called you can give that to you. Ask Him for it and ask that you may grow in it. That you may grow in saying no to sin and yes to Jesus. Like Levi, he left all. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. The rest of hope in the midst of human hopelessness. You've tried it, haven't you? You've tried to find hope in yourself. You've done everything you could do, you say, to establish your own righteousness, and you just became a greater sinner in your own eyes. There is no hope in self-righteousness. And you see, that's exactly why the entire Pharisaical system is fatally flawed, because there's no hope in the righteousness of man. There's only hope in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the tragedy is that most religions in the world are Pharisaical at root. It's God and me, God working together with me to save me, instead of free, sovereign grace. So it's an individual call. It's a gracious call. It's a sovereign call. It calls for a whole-souled response. And part of that whole-souled response of obedience is there are evangelistic and missional claims that come to us when God calls us. That's what Levi felt. He didn't only leave all, he followed Jesus. And what did it mean to follow Jesus? Well, for Levi, it meant to get all his friends together, to have a feast, and to invite Jesus, and to have Jesus talk to all his friends. What is he hoping? He's hoping that Jesus will say to every one of them, follow me, follow me, follow me. He gets a big evangelistic heart. One of the greatest encouragements, I think, when someone gets saved, is that then they, what about my dad? What about my grandmother? What about my sister? They need to be saved. How can I tell them? How can I evangelize them? You see, once you really understand the gospel, then you want others to understand it. And it's humbling. But it's urgent. They could die. They could go to hell. They need to be saved. Pastor, what can I do? Levi calls a feast. And he invites Jesus. He talks. Jesus talks to them. But Levi does everything he can. See, that's the way you need to respond to the call, to the effectual call. You've got to reach out to others. Give them books about Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. Tell them if he can save me, he can save you. Come with love. Come low. Come humble. Come and say, I'm nothing but a sinner. But I found the purpose of life. I found joy in life. I found meaning in life. And if I can have it, you can have it. Come, fellow publicans. The efficacious gospel call always calls for a response, a whole soul response. But that whole soul response takes feet and arms and outreach. It talks, it includes, it appeals, it speaks to others. You can't be silent. Jesus has saved you from the wrath to come. Speak to others. Levi did. It's not so hard. Just tell them. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a theologian. You just tell them what Jesus has done for you and what he can do for them. And now finally, there are unending consequences to this efficacious call. Unending consequences. It's a lifelong call. It's an eternity-long call. Forever. You see, I'm not just called once and now I'm saved. I go back to my old way of life. No, I'm called. And the call of God weighs upon me. It's like a vow. My whole life becomes a vow, an oath to live unto Jesus. Give me a single eye, Lord, thy name to glorify. So that call keeps coming. Levi, 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 live for me, live for me. And that call, you see, stamps you. So when someone says, who are you? Really what we should say is not, well, I'm a homemaker or I'm a chemist or I'm a mechanical engineer. We should say, by the grace of God, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. That's my real identity. I reckon myself dead unto sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ my Lord, Romans 6:11. That's who a Christian is. So let it be your prayer and your cry each day when you wake up in the morning. Help me to be like Levi. To follow the unconditionally, to leave all, to live like a Christian today. And help me to look forward to that one great day. And finally, I'll be a perfect Christian. And I'll follow Jesus forever, perfectly, in the realm of glory, without one sin. Ever following the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."